Apes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Well, hello there.
Hello, all of you bitches.
Hey, bitches, what up?
What up?
You know, I think we should shout out one of our favorite bitches.
Oh, please do.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
We're going to make a bunch of weird noises that you have to edit out.
Sorry in advance.
For those who don't know, Chris is our editor.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Sorry, Chris.
Not really. All right, anyways, let's talk about movies.
Yeah, let's do it.
We usually talk about movies. I have one. You also have one.
Yeah.
And maybe we should talk about them. Would you like to kick this off, or would you like for me to kick this one off?
I guess I'll start.
Okay.
I have a film from 2014.
Oh, that was a bit ago.
Yeah, a little bit ago. This movie has a number in a title.
Ooh.
It is Big Hero 6.
What?
Yeah, I watched this on November 17th of 2024, a little while ago.
That's true.
Last year.
Yeah. Yeah, we're cleaning up last year.
Yeah, we are. Runtime on this one is 1 hour and 48 minutes. It is an animation of the regular ass variety.
Correct.
Directed by Don Hall and Chris Williams. Speaking of Chris's.
Hi, Chris.
Your cast is Ryan Potter, Maya Rudolph, and Jamie Chung. For additional crew, this movie has 6 different writers.
That's wild.
Including 3 who did work on the character development and the Big Hero 6 team, and 3 who came in to work on the screenplay for this film.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty wild stuff. So this movie is about a special bond developing between an inflatable robot named Baymax and prodigy hero Hamada, who'd have to team up with a group of friends to form a band of high-tech heroes.
High-tech heroes?
High-tech heroes.
This is the most realistic heroes we're ever going to get.
Yeah, from Disney, this is like surprisingly, it has a hero origin story that's pretty reasonable, including the death of a major character.
Love it.
It's got fairly memorable characters with powers that are all kind of interesting and unique, different. Like, it felt familiar, but not completely cliche.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. I think Hero is a solid main character. I think have to ratchet my personal review of this movie back a little bit, to be fair, I think, just because this movie is not for me. It wasn't for, 30-something to watch. It's for 6 to 12-year-old, probably. Like, if I was growing up with this movie, I would probably think it was awesome.
Right.
So for me, in terms of Hero, he's one of those, like, he's a borderline Mary Sue character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just really good at technology, robotics, and understanding all of these things. I have to do I'm not a big fan of like the movie plot holes.
Yeah.
But I have one really big gripe with this movie, and it is the concept of the microbots.
Okay.
So the microbots are what Hero designs in order to get into this high-tech university that his brother goes to. And in order to get in, he has to prove himself worthy of the school. And he makes this like absolutely absurd concept, which is just microbots that are basically like Legos. But what if Legos could form anything your brain thinks of as soon as you think of it?
Terrifying.
It's great. And like instantaneously, like within not even a second, fractions of a second, you can create anything your mind can think of with these microbots.
Stop making naked ladies.
And he makes this in his garage with like no budget whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's like, does anybody realize how absolutely absurd this is? So I wasn't surprised to see that the main antagonist in the film is using the microbots to kind of see out his evil plot.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, no shit, because these are like crazy overpowered things. Like, why did we not see this coming? This is ridiculous. Kid made this in a garage. It's better than everything these kids all did together combined at this university. One dude made a dopey looking inflatable health robot. That's Baymax for you. No offense. Baymax is a cool character. I don't want to upset anybody blaspheming about Baymax.
Everybody calm down. Everybody relax. It's going to be okay.
Chill out. Calm it down. Let's deflate a little bit. I do think that compared to the idea of the microbots, like the fact this medical bot can do all the, like, it's cool, but it's not as impressive as the microbots. And again, in the middle of the movie, Hero upgrades Baymax with a bunch of things from the garage. Granted, I think some of it is from the school too, but it's just like they're off the grid in his garage making Baymax like not just a medical robot, but actually like a protecting defender robot with armor and all these cool upgrades.
Right.
So it's like really odd to me that he's able to do all of these things so smoothly and easily. It just feels a little glaze overy, where instead of him struggling with the stuff he's so gifted at it, the struggle is just more emotional, which makes sense. sense, right? He's trying to cope with the loss of his brother, and that's totally logical thing. And I like that they put that at the forefront of Hero's issues. It's not anything else holding him back besides his own emotions,
right,
about everything that's going on and coping and trying to properly grieve.
It's a cool message to put in a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Kids don't understand that when an adult's telling them those kind of things. Having the cartoon show them is a good thing, whether they realize it or not.
Yeah, I think it's really an unexpectedly deep topic and a especially deep kind of message to deal with. So I applaud them there. I just wish that everything wasn't so easy in terms of everything Hero has to do. It's all just so very accessible and right, easy to do. So it felt like a little bit of a layup if you want to talk about movie plot holes. Just when I saw the microbots, I'm like, are we not concerned about like the world getting taken over by these things? This kid built in a garage?
Yeah, why has the government not come and taken this and weaponized it yet?
Oh my gosh, it's insane.
This would never happen.
Crazy. For me, the music is fine.
Okay.
It borderlines on like very epic heroic score track and then unfortunately has Fallout Boy. So, I mean, if you're a fan, again, if I grew up with this, I'd think it was awesome, right? Like I would be probably way into it because Fallout Boy, I'm sure, is cool if you're like on a little younger than I am.
Yeah.
Or just really into pop punk, I guess. Not for Max's. So I didn't so much love the song, the We Can Be Immortals, which is like the big moment, like all these Disney movies of this era seem to have one moment with a song versus songs throughout the entirety of it,
because right,
felt a little bit cooler, I guess, for the kids, like a little less lame.
They want them to know the song. They want the song to be played normal, happy, epic, slowed down when you're sad.
That's right. Oh, it's not quite as bad as the newest Beverly Hills Cop, if you go back to my review of that one. So many times Axel F. played during that movie. I think that other than that, the movie is pretty smooth all the way through. I think that all of the friend characters get a little bit of a moment. They all get to work together as a team. It's what you'd expect. I do think that one of the Fred character, his dad ended up being Stan Lee, which I thought was really a fun nod. Like they really knew what they were doing.
Right.
So that was pretty cool to include.
Yeah, the Marvel tie-in.
Yeah. So it was really fun. I thought it was overall an enjoyable movie. Nothing that like blew me away, but it was fun.
Yeah, I agree with that.
IMDb gives it a 7.8 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 227 critics.
Okay.
90%.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was surprised at that one.
Okay.
The audience of 100,000 plus.
Plus.
91%.
Wow.
These are high numbers, yeah.
Yeah.
Sam score.
Uh-oh.
8.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
So I am, I guess, the low man on the totem pole.
Come on,
here.
Give me this 6.5, I'm guessing.
7.5. It was good. 5. I don't think you'll go wrong with it. It wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I think that a lot of the points are going to come off there. And again, if you had to describe what was going on in this movie, it's a lot of very formulaic plot points with the overarching concept of, as if you boil it all down to the theme, which is super important in a children's movie to me,
right,
is grieving and dealing with loss, which I think is an exceptionally deep thing to navigate, especially in a human framework. Usually Disney does that through the frame of animals,
right,
more than humans. So for them to tackle this in the way they did was surprising and well handled, very tastefully handled. The actual plot beats in the story, like the red herring villain and stuff, it was all like super obvious and kind of eye-rolly. So it was a little water tready, but it was on the whole a successful film.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Disney does love murdering their animals, don't they?
They will kill every animal.
Just take it out back and Old Yeller it. I think that was them.
Just kill it.
Just kill it. Why have animals is what Walt Disney used to always famously say.
You know what animals are for? Eating. That was an exact Disney quote.
And then he just bit into like a gerbil. He just ate it.
He ate it.
He ate the whole
gerbil.
That
was the inspiration for Ratatouille.
It was.
Walt Disney devours a live gerbil.
He would have bit Patton Oswalt had he still been alive.
They absolutely would have. He would have chased him around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would have been like the Swedish Chef.
Just like that.
Rudy, Rudy, Rudy.
Chris, edit out all that. No. yeah, fuck you, Chris. Anyways, he's like, what did I do?
I know, editing. For real.
Oh, my God. You know, so he told me sometimes when he edits, he speeds us up a little bit.
Okay.
To go a little quicker. Not so much that we're like chipmunks, but I think we should talk like chipmunks that we sound even weirder.
Can't even.
You shouldn't have told
it.
Me that. Now I'm going to talk like a chipmunk. Anyways, I got a movie.
Ooh, squeak.
I think it pairs great with your movie. It's about bikers. It's called The Loveless.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever seen The Loveless?
This I have
from
not.
1981.
Okay.
I watched this on December 12th, 2024. Getting in that holiday spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is an hour 25. It is a regular-ass drama. A drama.
Okay.
And it's directed by Kathryn Bigelow.
Oh, so great.
This might be her debut. I'm not sure. It's an early Bigelow, also with Monty Montgomery.
Okay.
As well, Kathryn Bigelow famously did a lot of movies. I always think of Point Break.
Point Break.
She did The Hurt Locker and Wild at Heart and some Twin Peaks stuff. So there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Near Dark, one of my favorite vampire movies.
Near Dark. Oh, Twin Peaks was Montgomery. This movie has Willem Dafoe, an early Dafoe as well.
I love it.
I think this might be his first credited role.
That's pretty awesome.
That's what I read.
Probably.
We'll see. We'll see if I wrote that down here.
Yeah, before Streets of Fire, I think. The Streets of Fire is 83, 84, I want to say.
That feels right. Also starring Tina Lahotsky, J. Don Ferguson, and Robert Gordon.
Gordon's alive.
Alive. Your additional crew, producer A. Kitman Ho. I forget why I wrote him down, but he was cool.
Streets of Fire, 84.
Okay. Your movie summary. Trouble ensues when a motorcycle gang stops in a small town while heading to the races in Daytona.
Okay.
This movie's weird. This is a weird movie.
I love weird movies.
Then you might like this one. So we largely just focus on Dafoe for the beginning of this. Him coming into town. He doesn't want to stop, but he's having bike issues. And he's meeting up with his buddies. So they're going to have to stop too. So all these unsavory biker fellows are going to show up in this town. And everyone's going to want to treat him like shit. But everybody's also scared to death of them.
Okay.
So how does small town America react to big scary bikers?
Typically with violence.
Usually with violence. This movie is a character study that asks the questions... How bad are bikers actually, and how terrible can a small town be?
I like that.
Yeah. The town should leave the bikers alone. Of course they don't.
Right.
They do things like, originally they're like, we don't have any garages for you, just keep going. And it's like, well, we actually can't, so where can I go? They give them the shittiest one on the far side of town. You know, some guy's just like, whatever, man, I don't give a shit. Just pay me and go. It's cool.
Yeah.
The characters do fun stuff and seem fun, but also there's things that'll make you instantly feel differently about them. Like, they're kind of just having fun and acting normal. They're dancing. They're doing fun stuff, listening to music, and they're working on the bikes, but then, like, they'll flash one has a swastika tattoo on his arm.
Interesting.
And stuff like that, and you're like, oh, I was just starting to learn about this character and thinking, like, he's not so bad, and then that happens, and you're like, oh, well, now he's instantly not great.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, and these are what these people in these town are seeing, right? Like, that's what you're putting on display for
right.
the world to see. Interesting.
Right. Very dramatic. This movie, it will not be for everyone. And the real thing that I find troubling about this movie is they're really pushing on me that Willem Dafoe is sexy. They're really pushing in this movie.
Have you seen him?
I mean, yeah, but... I've seen a lot of him after this movie.
He's something of a sexy himself.
Yes. I guess you could... Well, you certainly
How
did
How many so. Spider-Man memes can I jam into this episode?
We're pointing at each other.
There we are.
They're really pushing it. And I'm just like, he's like not even trying to be sexy though. Like, it's not like, I don't know. It's just weird. It's a weird thing that just keeps popping up.
It doesn't work. It
doesn't work. You see an awful lot of Willem Dafoe in this movie as well. Please know that. But this movie is very dark and twisted at times. Kathryn Bigelow's feature debut. Okay. A. Kitman Ho. Okay. Here's what's about him. He produced this. He is known for JFK, Ali, and Born on the 4th of July. So some heavy hitters.
Yeah. High profile pictures.
Dafoe's first credited role. I should have started with this column.
Holy crap, you screwed this up.
I know. Robert Gordon's last acting gig. He's known for rockabilly and did much of the score for this film.
Oh, that's sweet.
So a rockabilly guy playing, I think he's the Nazi biker. It's funny.
Okay.
It's funny they went that route. And Highway 17, or King's Highway, is the most direct route from northern states down to Florida. So that's a historic, this is a historically accurate in that respect kind of movie. Like,
interesting.
This probably happened a bunch, and towns like this always got bikers.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, for a stretch, this is all we got.
Right.
We're the last gas station around kind of thing.
Like for us, we have a lot of these old kind of highways
yeah.
that go down to the shore points
mm-hmm.
and we're popular traveling up from PA and above. And now we're kind of like pushed to the side in the more modern age of your larger highways. So you kind of get these old routes that were once very heavily traveled and you can kind of see the bygone era
mm-hmm.
left behind, which is pretty interesting.
This movie is fantastic. It is really dark and twisted. You got to be in the mood for it, though. I was mostly in the mood for it. Just like, it goes some weird places. And by the end, little bits of this movie you won't see coming. It's got a pretty crazy ending, and I appreciated it. So I'll leave it at that.
Nice.
But everybody does a good job. Defoe, definitely a good leading man. You can see that he probably has the chops at this point. He just so good. So good at just wearing the emotion on his sleeve.
That's awesome. He always has been good.
He always has. IMDb gave this movie a 6.0.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 75% out of 12 critics. The audience, 60% out of 500 plus.
Okay.
Wife didn't watch it with me. I gave this a 6.5. I think it's serviceable, but it's absolutely not for everybody.
No, that makes sense. I think the context of the subject matter and the amount of Defoe skin could make it not something that everybody's in the mood for.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
But I like a dark, gritty morality tale kind of thing. I like that.
Yep. Then you should probably check this out.
Honk, honk.
Fuck you, Chris.